Today is taken out of the Gospel according to Matthew, the 28th chapter, about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We find in the beginning of this chapter that Mary Magdalene and likewise the other Mary were upon the road very early in the morning, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn. Very early in the morning, we find Mary Magdalene and Mary on the way to see the sepulcher. Now, this likewise already has a lesson in it for us, friends. Now, these two women, they were up very early in the morning. What was their purpose? It was to go to Jesus. They had the grace of God in their souls. And these women, they had been with Jesus, had ministered unto his necessities, had been with him when he had been alive. And they likewise had been with him when he had been crucified. And they likewise had followed Joseph when he took the body from the cross and they buried it in the sepulcher. And now these women, they had made up their mind together that very early in the morning they would go to the sepulcher and they would anoint this body of the Lord Jesus with spices and with ointments. Very early in the morning. How many of my hearers arise very early in the morning to seek Jesus, to kneel down and pray to him, to take his precious word and to read it? Do you take time out in the morning for this, my hearers? How many are guilty of not doing so? If I was to ask, raise your hands, how many hands would go up, truthfully, honestly? Oh, we live in a sad time, my hearers. Believe me, there are so few people that have time for the Lord in the morning. They lay to the last minute. They have to get up quick. They grab something for breakfast. Sometimes don't even eat any breakfast. They get it at their work. And that's the way they begin the day. You begin the day that way, my hearers? Please don't do it anymore. May you make up your mind from this day on that you'll get up a little earlier in the morning, that you'll kneel before him and seek him for help, for guidance, for protection. Oh, how sad. Do most of the creatures that we meet and mingle with live in this world? These two women, they were filled with love to Jesus. And therefore we find them on the way to the sepulcher. Oh, what they had passed through, my hearers. They had been with him. They had followed him. All their hopes and all their expectations had been built upon him. And now he had been crucified, he had been murdered, and he likewise had died, and they had buried him. And with that, all their hopes, all their expectations, all their salvation, which was wrapped up in him, was buried in the sepulcher with him. Oh, how sad were these women coming to the grave so early in the morning. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever had a death in your family? Have you ever had someone that you love, who you were united to in bonds of flesh, pass away? Oh, when we have someone like this that dies, then we would bury ourselves in our sorrow and in our grief. Oh, I know from experience. And my hearers, if we continue in that, probably we take our own lives. But this soon passes away, and good that it does. You can understand in a little what these women were going through. He who they loved had died, he had been murdered. And now they came to the grave very early in the morning. And as they're walking along, they begin to think. They had seen Joseph roll a great stone before the door of this sepulcher. And now there was an obstacle in the way. How was this stone to be removed? And they were concerned about this stone being taken away so that they could perform this last act of love and charity to their master. And this likewise is an experience of those that are on their way to seek Jesus, to find Jesus. Oh, what obstacles they encounter in the way. Oh, unbelief is such a great obstacle, my hearers. Have you any trouble with unbelief? Why don't you know what unbelief is? Most of us live in unbelief. It's only when God gives us living faith that we are beginning to trouble with unbelief. Oh, what a stone is unbelief. It would take us away from Christ, take us away from prayer. It shuts the mouth of it. It tells us that we're such great sinners, there's no hope for us. There's no use of going on any longer. You might just as well give it all up. You ever have them voices in you? That's the voice of unbelief. And that's a great stone, my hearers. It's only when God gives us faith and exercise that this stone is taken out of the way. Likewise, my hearers, oh, what a terrible thing it is to have a stony heart. We all have a stony heart by nature. Oh, our hearts are like stone, believe me. You ever have any trouble with your heart? That it's so hard that it never melts, that it never breaks? Or did you never have a broken heart? You don't know what a broken heart is? Oh, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. They are the sacrifices of God. And if you ever had a broken heart, and your heart becomes stony again, becomes rocky, nothing moves it, nothing budges it, no matter what truth you listen to, nothing strikes it, you think sometimes that's the way I'm going to die. My heart will never break anymore. But it pleases God at different times to speak sometimes, just one word, and then the heart is broken. The stony heart is taken away. You're melted into contrition. Sometimes God brings us on our knees with such confessions of our sins, and then he lets us look backward and give us to see how good he has been to us. Oh, the goodness of God over such creatures as we are. You ever have that? Never melt your heart? Such a sinner like you, spared yet in the land of the living, healthy and well. Oh, what a mercy if God gives you a broken heart, my hearers. Now, this only can be taken away by God himself. Now, this is an obstacle in the way so often with God's dear children. And as these women are traversing along, it pleases God to remove this obstacle without any concern of theirs. We read that an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and there was a great earthquake. And this angel came, and he rolled the stone away from the door of the sepulcher, and he sat upon it. And these men that were watching the sepulcher, the watch set by the Jews, they became so frightened, they became like dead men. They were so scared of this glorified angel that appeared unto them. Truly, my hearers, if ever we are given to see an angel, I think we would be frightened out of our skin too. We couldn't stand the sight of such a glorified individual. And these creatures, they couldn't either. And now we find that heaven and earth was moved at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God sent an angel down from heaven, and he turned the stone away from the door of the sepulcher. But likewise we find that the earth trembled and shook. There was an earthquake, a great earthquake. My hearers, earthquakes are some terrible devastations. They are terrible catastrophes that take place in this world. And many earthquakes have taken place while this world has stood. We find several of them recorded in the scriptures, which we may be sure took place. We find likewise that the commentary speaks about these cities of the plain, the cities of Zoar, that they sincerely believed that an earthquake turned them upside down and made them a standing lake as they are at the present time. There was an earthquake in the time of Ahab. There was an earthquake when Elijah went up on the mount. And God let the wind come, and then he let an earthquake come. He was not in the wind, he was not in the earthquake, but he was in a still small voice. And there was an earthquake likewise when Christ was crucified upon the cross. And then we read that the graves were opened, and many that were dead arose from the dead and entered into the holy city. Here we have likewise an earthquake taking place when Christ is to be brought forth out of the dead. Earthquakes have taken many lives, my hearers. I was just reading a little upon earthquakes before I come up to this place this afternoon. Now, there have been tremendous earthquakes upon the earth. Now, this book that I was reading said there's two channels where these earthquakes mostly take place and where most of the lives are lost in. They are, one, it starts in the land of Chile, and it runs up the Pacific coast to the Alaska, and then it cuts across westward through the Aleutian Islands, and it comes likewise into Japan, and then it swings down into the Philippine Islands, and then into the East Indies. This is one channel where many earthquakes have taken place in the last centuries. There is another place which meets this same channel, and that starts in Spain. It runs through Spain, it comes down through Italy, through the Mediterranean Sea, into India, and likewise it cuts across through the Himalayan Mountains, and it comes and meets this place where this other one ends. According to their calculations, many earthquakes have taken place in these two particular areas. I was reading of several of them. I was mostly interested in the ones in our own country. And we had a terrific earthquake in the year 1906 in San Francisco. There wasn't too much loss of life, about 500 people, but the earthquake broke all the water mains in the city of San Francisco, and we find it was a terrific fire. The city burned to the ground. But in Italy, in Rome, likewise in Constantinople in India, there were terrific earthquakes. In the city of Lisbon in Portugal, there was a terrible earthquake. 60-some thousand people were killed in it. I have studied a little bit about these earthquakes, and thinking upon them, it brings to mind how necessary it is that we have an earthquake take place within us. Earthquakes take place underneath the ground. They are caused by subterranean gases, and they explode and they disturb the earth. They crack the earth in several places. The crust of the earth is broken open. So likewise, my hearers, an earthquake must take place in our hearts. The crust of our heart, that stony heart that we have, must be broken and must be laid bare before us and be given to see what we are and what we have become in true sin. This earthquake then, God brought upon the earth for that special reason, that his dear son Jesus may arise from the grave. And now we find these women coming to the grave. And as they come to the grave, they see this angel sitting upon the stone. Oh, they were terrified. They were affrighted when they seen this angel, this celestial inhabitant. And he knew that they were affrighted, and therefore he spoke unto them and said unto them, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Come see where the Lord lay." My hearers, how wonderful was the message that this angel brought to these women. Angels, they are messengers of God. These angels God sends into the world sometimes. He sent them down one time to destroy the cities of the plain. He likewise sent an angel to destroy 185,000 Assyrians when they were going to war. How mighty and how powerful are these angels. Angels likewise sang when Christ was born. They ministered unto him when he was in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. An angel came and strengthened him in the Garden of Gethsemane. And here God sends an angel down to open the way for Christ to come forth out of the grave. Angels then are messengers. They are sent for the saints of God to minister unto them likewise. And we read in the book of Revelations that even ministers are called angels. The angel to the church of Sardis, the angel to the church of Ephesus, and so forth. And my hearers, God sends these messengers, these ministers, with a message. And what does he send them for? He sent this messenger to open the grave so Christ could come out. He sends his gospel. And this gospel, accompanied with the Spirit of God, goes through this great universe. And God uses this word, What does he use it for? He uses it to quicken the dead. It becomes an arrow pointed by him into the hearts of sinners whom he has chosen from all eternity. And when this gospel comes with power divine, it brings a person out of a state in which we are all in by nature, dead in trespasses and sins. It raises a sinner up out of the grave of sin in which he is resting in and rotting in, and which he will die in and perish in if he continues on in it. Oh, what a wonderful thing it is when God sends one of his messengers with a message for you in person. Has he ever done that? Have you ever heard one of God's messengers speaking to you individually, personally, that the word was directed to your heart, and that word came with so much power, and you were forced to leave your sins? You were caused to forsake everything here below and seek God as you have never sought him before. Or you found your heart being wrought upon by the Spirit of God, going out to this living God, longing for him, desiring to have him and to know him. Oh, how wonderful it is when God raises up a sinner out of a death of sin. Oh, may he raise you up, my hearers, who are still in this state and condition. And now angels, likewise, they don't know everything, but they do know much. Because we read in the Bible that when a sinner repents, there is joy amongst the angels in heaven. And now this angel, he knew something about why these women came to the grave. For he immediately spoke to them and said, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, who was crucified." Oh, what wonderful words. Oh, they were so applicable for their condition, my hearers. They were so frighted. They were so filled with fear. And here this angel spoke to them, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus." Oh, a word so suitable to every soul that's been born again, and that has been directed by the Spirit of God to seek Jesus. How many have I amongst my hearers? How many souls here to whom this word would be applicable? "For I know that ye seek Jesus." Are there any here seeking Jesus? Any here longing after him, desiring to know him? Do you get up early in the morning to seek him? Are you seeking him through the day, calling upon him? How many souls here longing to possess him, to know him as your own personal Savior and Redeemer, to know that he was crucified for you and that he arose again? Oh, how few there are, I am afraid, that this word could be directed to. And now these creatures that are seeking Jesus, they are accustomed to have many fears. "Fear not ye," the angel said. And oh, God has put so many fear nots in his precious word. Why? Because these children of his are always filled with fears. What do they fear? They fear God hasn't begun that good work. You fear that sometimes? Sometimes you get into a state, there's no feeling, there's no life, there's no prayer. Yeah, there's lip work, there's head work, but there's no heart prayer. And then you think, "Oh, if I should die in this state, I fear I'll be lost forever." Haven't he ever said inside by you, "Oh, if you go on like this, and you don't get no revelation of Jesus to your soul, you're going to be lost"? Do you not fear that? Oh, how many fears the people of God have. Fear that they'll never be able to hold out to the end. Fear that they'll go back into the world and serve sin again. Oh, how they fear that they are too great of a sinner that God wouldn't have mercy upon them because they continually sin. All these words, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus." Is it true by you? Do you seek Jesus? How I wish that I had some that could say yes. Oh, he's the object of my affections. Oh, if I find him, how I would cry out in the midst of the congregation, "I've found him, he's mine for time and eternity." Ah, blessed soul that's seeking Jesus, that needs Jesus, that can't live or die without Jesus. Fear not ye, for God knows that you're seeking him. The angel knew this about the women, and he knows it about you. He knows where you go. He knows how often that you're in secret, how often that your heart is longing for him. Oh, what a blessing if you had this going on inside of you. How I wish that everyone here had that. And now this angel, he spoke such a glorious message to these women. He says, you don't have to fear me. I know you're all affrighted because I'm such a glorified individual, but be not affrighted of me. I've come to give you good news, glad tidings. He is not here. He is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. All these women, they wanted ocular demonstration. They wanted proof that he wasn't in the grave. And therefore the angel invites them to come right to the grave and to look in. And they came and they looked in, and they did not see the body of Jesus. Jesus had been raised from the dead by his own power, and he likewise had been going on before them already. Oh, how wonderful this was, my hearers, for these women. Oh, this likewise is an experience of the children of God. Now, they are seeking Jesus, as I read this morning, and they are seeking wrong. They are seeking him in their heart, and they can't find him. Oh, they look into their heart, and it's just like the grave. It's empty, it's dead, it's void of everything that's good. Oh, Christ must find us, my hearers. Shall we find him? And now the angels speak to the women and said, go ye into Galilee and tell ye his disciples, and there shall ye meet him, and there shall ye see him. And this was a comforting word to these women. Oh, he spoke to them, as we read in the chapter that was read this afternoon. He spoke unto them and said, remember how that he has spoken unto you. He had told them so often when he was alive that he would suffer and that he would die, and the third day he would rise again. And they had never thought of them words. If they had, they would have come to the grave. They would have went immediately to Galilee. If they had faith and exercise, they never would have come to the grave. But they had forgotten his words completely. And my hearers, the angel had to remind them of what he had said. And then it says in the Gospel of Luke, then remembered they his words. Oh, how often this takes place with the people of God. It may have been with yourself, or that you were in such a cast-out condition, and you felt so lost and so undone, and so far from God, and that you thought you'd never would find him anymore. And then the Lord came, and he spoke to you. He encouraged you. Oh, he gave you again to hope in his mercy. He gave you again to believe that there was a time coming when you would find him. And oh, when that promise came, it was so sweet to your soul. Oh, it raised you up again to seek him, to long after him, and desire to find him. You know such a time? You ever have a word spoken to you? Maybe some soul saying, yeah, I had one so many years ago, I can't even remember what it was. These women, they couldn't remember anymore either, because if they had remembered what the Lord had said to them, they wouldn't have been there. And now what do we need? Why, we need somebody to remind us likewise of what he said. Oh, I've had so many times that the Lord spoke to me, but there are so many times that you can't even remember what he said. Oh, when he did say it, and you were in that position, it was so sweet for your soul. But oh, it all goes away like a dream, and then you can't even remember sometimes. Sometimes you're with a gathering of people, and you want to tell them what the Lord did for you, and you want to tell them what he spoke to you, and then you're lost sometimes. You can't even remember. You say, is that true? That's true. Oh, yes. But now then, the angel said, remember what he said unto you. And I would say to you, Saul, remember what he said to you. Oh, if you don't remember it, he does. He never forgets what he says. He keeps his word unto 1,000 generations. He's faithful to what he says and to his promises. Although we may not have any faith in exercise and we can't believe anymore that he said it, all the life is taken out of it, still he remembers what he says. He comes back to his word. The angel brought these women back to what he had said. And then they remembered his words. Oh, how glad they were. How happy they were. And away they went. Oh, they were so changed, my hearers. Oh, they came up to this sepulcher so sad and so sorrowful and so cast down. All their hopes were in that grave. And how different they leave this sepulcher. Oh, how wonderful this messenger meets them. And he changes everything for them. Have you ever come up to the house of God so sad, so cast down, so filled with unbelief, saying inside, well, there's nothing here for me anymore. I'm going to church, but I don't know why. I've gone so often, I never have anything anymore. Nothing comes to my heart. Nothing reaches my case. It seems like I never had anything of the Lord. You're in such a sad and sorrowful condition. And then, lo and behold, the Lord uses the message. The Lord opens your heart. He opens your ears. And the word again is life and food for your soul. And how different you leave the house of God. Oh, how wonderful God is for his dear children. And so he was for these women. And now these women, they were told to run to the disciples and tell them what they had seen and what they had heard. And away they go. And as they're going, lo and behold, Jesus meets them. And he says unto them, all hail. And all my hearers, they fell at his feet and they worshiped him. Oh, how wonderful is Jesus. Oh, we may go to the church. We may go to the Bible. We may read good books seeking after Jesus, and we don't find him. No, my hearers, Jesus must come to us. He must be the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Oh, he came to these two women as they were running to tell the disciples' word, and he spake all hail. Oh, see where it brought them. It brought them at the feet of Christ. They worshiped him. Oh, what a sight this was for these women. Would you want to have a sight like that, my hearers? You who are seeking Jesus, I'm sure you say, oh, I wonder if he'll ever appear to me. I wonder if I'll ever see that in him, what these women seen in him. They seen in him their glorified Redeemer, their Emmanuel, their Savior, their Lord and their Master. Oh, and he said unto them, go on your way now, and go and tell my disciples that they will meet me in Galilee. And now we find it, these women, they came to the disciples and they began to tell the disciples what they had encountered when they had went to the sepulcher and how wonderful the angel had spoken to them and what Jesus even had said to them, how he had manifested himself unto them in the way. And what happens? Did the disciples believe him? Were they glad when they heard these things? Huh. Their words were to them as idle tales. They didn't believe them. Let me ask you a question. Are my words to you like an idle tale? No interest in what I'm saying? No interest in what I'm trying to describe? Oh, my hearers. How the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is like an idle tale to most people. How very seldom do we have hearers who are interested in this precious Jesus who only can save. Oh, so often we sit under the ministry and the word is like an idle tale. Is it that way with the people of God? Yeah. Oh, yes. So often they're just like the other creatures that they're sitting with. The words are just like an idle tale. Oh, how sad is the state and condition of God's children when it is that way. Oh, how often when they begin to speak with others of the Lord's people, and they want to say something about what the Lord did. Oh, it's just like an idle tale. There's no life, there's no feeling in it, there's no faith in it. Oh, it's just like an idle tale. They wish they hadn't started even. You ever have that, my hearers? Oh, their words were like an idle tale. Oh, that's so true, my hearers, with us. It is only God that can put life and put favor and love in our hearts towards himself and give that our hearts will burn within us when we begin to speak about him and about what he has done for our souls. These disciples, they couldn't believe what these women told them. And now we find Peter, he immediately arises and he runs to the grave. And he looks down into the grave and he sees just as the women had said. He does not meet the angel. The grave was empty. He seen the napkin laying there and the clothes laying there, but him he saw not. Oh, how sad this must have been for Peter, this disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ, who had sinned so greatly against him in denying him and even cursing that he knew him not. But all he met with him likewise. The Lord appeared unto Peter, as we read in Scripture, and what a meeting that must have been with this man. Oh, this man who had sinned so greatly, he likewise received a revelation of Jesus Christ to his soul again. Oh, my hearers, have you ever sinned greatly? After you have received grace? Have you ever committed a sin like we read of in Scripture, like David did? How few commit a sin like that? But there are some maybe amongst my hearers that have committed a sin like Peter did, not outwardly, not cursing and swearing, but haven't you denied him many times? When you should have spoken up for him, when you should have come out for him, when you should have revealed whose you are and who you serve, and you kept quiet, and your conscience witnessed against you, oh, I should have spoken and I didn't. You go away, how? Condemned in your own feelings. And my hearers, what happens? Does the Lord condemn you? Or does he say, I won't have anything to do anymore with such a creature? Oh, no. No, he isn't like you or I. He don't turn the back to us. But he again visits in love. He manifests again his favor, his mercy, his compassion, his pity. And all my hearers is just like being converted all over again when that happens. It is. Oh, how blessed it is that we have a faithful Jesus who never leaves or forsakes his people. He loves them unto the end. We see that in his disciples, how that he revealed himself likewise unto them. All this precious Jesus, my hearers, he came that very evening, and when all the disciples were gathered together, and when they were talking about what had taken place that day, then he appeared in their midst. Oh, he manifested himself unto them. How wonderful is this Jesus in coming in the midst of his disciples and revealing himself as their Savior, their Redeemer, their Lord, and their God. Oh, how wonderful he was to these two men that were on the way to Emmaus. How wonderful he was to Thomas, who likewise was not present when Christ appeared the first time. Oh, this blessed Jesus. Oh, I wish I could speak well of him. In fact, I wish I knew more about him. Oh, to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of this precious Savior is so wonderful, my hearers. It leads us to love him more. It leads us that we would embrace him and receive him in our hearts and live for him and for him only. It crucifies the flesh and all its affections and lusts, and our life is dedicated to him, who gave his life for us. Oh, when we are given to believe this, my hearers, then we are living above this earth for a few moments. How blessed it is when Christ manifests himself in this way and reveals that he has let his body be broken for us and his blood be shed for us. Ah, this is something that every living soul is seeking after. And if you never have had it, oh, may the day come that he may manifest himself to you, that he may reveal his hands and his side and say, look, see the wounds that I have had, see my side, and be not unbelieving, but believe. Oh, then the peace of God will pervade in your heart, and then you will rejoice with joy unspeakable in this precious Savior. Oh, may he, who is the living resurrection, who is the life of his church, descend in the hearts of poor sinners who have never known him, who have no desire after him. Oh, may hearts here present be wrought upon, and may his Spirit come and use the word with strong convictions and lay you low at his feet, and may you find him to be, as his word teaches us, a merciful and a sympathizing high priest, to whom we can go at all times, and who is willing to receive the greatest, the vilest, or the blackest of sinners. My time is gone, my hearers. May God bless the feeble lesson this day to your immortal souls. That's all.